I'm in it for the long run. The minutes and the years. I'm in it for the long run. The hours and the days. I'm in it for the long run. The laughter and the tears. I'm in it for the long run, even though you're far away.
Well, hello there. This is Jim Rooney, and I am in it for the long run. Welcome back to this series of programs covering my more than 60-year journey in the musical world. And this time, I think we could call this program, this will be about changes. I came back from Greece in the fall of 1964, and the first big change that I encountered was that the Club 47 in Cambridge had moved from Mount Auburn Street to 47 Palmer Street. Before I had gone to Greece, we searched around for a new location because we were bursting at the seams. Too many people wanted to come in and hear this music. And we found a place. It was an unfinished cellar in a very old building in Harvard Square. And we looked at it and took a big chance. And I left for Greece, leaving the manager, Byron Linardos, and Betsy Siggins, and the Nancy Sweezy, the board members, to figure out what to do with this space. So I came back in the fall of 64, and there it was, just a beautiful room for music. And as a matter of fact, it's still being used for music 50 years later. Quite amazing. It's called the Club Passim now, a well-known folk venue in Cambridge. So that was the first change. And my partner, Bill Keith, had left Bill Monroe at some point during the year and had joined the Jim Queskin Jug Band, which meant, of course, that we weren't going to be having our bluegrass band because Joe Val had joined the Charles River Valley Boys. But let's just get started here with the Jug Band, the Queskin Jug Band, with Bill Keith in it.
A woman ain't got no man. Might as well be looking for a needle in the sand. Looking for a woman ain't got no man now. Dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum. Rag mama, come on, baby. Let's do that rag. Now you get one woman, you better get two. One for your buddy and a one for you. You better get a wife and a sweetheart too. Wife don't love you, but your sweetheart do. Now, dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum. Rag mama, come on baby, let's do that rag. Come on, mama, what you know? You gonna reap just what you sow. When I dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum. Rag mama, come on, baby, let's do that rag. Hey, I saw my gal with a man, she was holding his hand. I had a pistol in my pocket, blackjack on my back. Run outside with a half a brick saying, I'm gonna get that so-and-so. Dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum. Rag mama, come on, baby, let's do that rag. All right, we're gonna rag on out now. Womp, 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 dee dee dum, dee dee da dum. Skeet dee da, one la da dum, dee da dum. Da ba dum, dee da da dee da dum, one la da. Rag mama, come on, baby, let's do that rag.
Jim Queskin and the Jug Band with Bill Keith, and you can identify that steady banjo right off the bat. Bill, before he played the five-string banjo, played tenor banjo in Dixieland Band in high school, so he was the man for the job. And we did do some playing together, Bill and myself, and we, since Joe Val was occupied with the Charles River Valley Boys, he recommended this young singer from Wayland, Massachusetts. He said he was a pretty good singer. Well, he did turn out to be a pretty good singer. His name was Peter Rowan. And Peter and Bill and I had a little trio going for just a short time, but Bill Monroe was coming up to play in Barrie, Vermont, and needed a guitar man, as he said. Ralph Rinsler called up Bill Key, said, could we find Bill a guitar man? And we recommended Peter. And Peter, before he knew it, was in the Bluegrass Boys. And by within a year, it had really gelled. And this, we have to hear this song. It was a song that Peter and Monroe came up with together. And Peter has a great story about it, but I couldn't possibly do it justice by repeating Peter's story. So you'll hear him tell it sometime. But this is their classic song together, Walls of Time.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the solo numbers. We have a duet number now that we'd like to do for you that brings in Pete Rowan and myself. And the number's entitled Walls of Time. It's a new number, and we hope you will enjoy it.
Take her to that home on high.
Bill Monroe and Peter Rowan recorded live at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965, and you can just feel the electricity between them. It was just quite something. Peter was with Bill for 2 years, and it was quite a trip for both of them, I believe. And I think you can tell there's a lot of energy in the air at this time, 1965. And another new face at the Club 47 was John Kerner, Spider John Kerner. When I was in Greece, Bill Keith sent me a care package, and there was a tape in there. And when I opened it up and put it on, it was quite something.
Used to be once upon a time, a man was going to get hung for a crime. He could buy his way out of it. He could bring enough people to bring him some silver and some gold. Going to pay the man and going to hang him. About his time when a man was going to get hung. He's sitting there already up on a scaffold. He's hoping his mom and his papa are going to come along, going to bring him some gold, save him from being hung. Well, his mom and his papa come along, all right, they didn't bring him no silver, didn't bring him no gold. They said, we don't care, you're going to get hung or not. He's getting to feel pretty bad, but he look off in the distance, he see his woman come riding along in his car. He says, wait a minute, maybe my baby going to bring me some silver, some gold, going to save him from being hung. Well, this woman brought some stuff, all right. She brought all kinds of junk. She had a whole car loaded of stuff. She was going to save him from being hung. Now, this is what he said when his mom and papa come riding up. Well, hanging, hanging, slack rope, slack it up around. I see my dear old father come. He's riding many miles. Yes, he's riding many miles. Now, papa, did you bring me any silver? Papa, did you bring me any gold? Have you come to see me hanging from the gallows pole? Yes, from the gallows pole.
Take that, Spider John Kerner. And when I came back from Greece, he had decided to move from Minnesota, where he would have been living and working with Tony Glover and Dave Ray. And he made himself very much at home at the Club 47, first at the Siggins household, and then on our couch with Bill Keith and myself. We're sharing an apartment. And to talk about a wonderful character to have around, and still is a wonderful person to be around. John's interested in astronomy, and of course anybody who gazes at the stars too long probably gets a little crazy. And any rate, he's just such a wonderful person. We got to hear his other big tune at the time, Duncan and Brady.
Two guys. One guy's name is Duncan, the other guy's name Moses Brady. The Duncan guy used to own this grocery store on a corner of two streets. I don't know what the name of the street was on. Maybe he didn't need it, but they was on this grocery store. Sell all kind of goodies inside and a little on the outside. Friday night, Duncan shop, and all the boys go around in the backside. Go to the back door in there, and they're gonna play a little game called Spin It. They get back, they're gonna do a little gambling now. Shoot a little crap, shoot a little poo, play a little poker, didn't cause no trouble, just having some fun. But a guy's name who was named Brady, what a sheriff in this town, he was a lawman. He used to arrest people, take care of the bucks, get parking tickets, do all that kind of thing. Nobody liked it for it. Cost him money every time he make a move. One night he's thinking to himself out loud, and he says this way, he says, I'm thinking maybe I ought to go down to old Duncan's place. I got some suspicion in my head. Maybe they're gonna do something wrong back there. See the light on in the bed every Friday night. I'm gonna go down and turn it out. Down there, all right. He had to go in the front door. He walked inside there, kick it right down. He had a 44 gun in his hand, 45 gun. He walked inside about ready to shoot up the place and everybody inside of it. Only wasn't feeling too good. There's another guy on the other side was opposed to his action. He said, hold it, man, you ain't gonna do. And then it had some kind of conflagration back there. Big roaring fight. This is the way the whole thing was set up when he walked in the front door. Well, now, Duncan, Duncan, what attend the bar? In my Brady with a shining star. Said, Duncan, Duncan, you under arrest. Duncan shot a hole in Brady's breast. Now, Brady, Brady had a 45. Said it would shoot a half a mile. Dunkin' Dunkin' at a 44, now what they put Brady low. Now Brady fell down on the barroom floor, cried, please, Mr. Dunkin', don't you shoot me no more. Women cried, ain't a shame, shot King Brady, gonna shoot him again. Now Brady, Brady, don't you know you done wrong? You broke my store with the game going on. Come a knockin' out the windows, tearin' down the door, now laying dead on the barroom floor. Mrs. Brady was at home in bed when she got the telegram. Brady was dead. She said, come on, children, put your hats on your head. We're gonna go see if old King Brady is dead. Now, Brady, Brady, why didn't you run? Saw the Duncan had a 44 gun. Brady, Brady, you ought to have fun. Had no face, that Gatling gun. His wife come up in a mighty flirt. Wiped up the blood with her underskirt. She said, hush now, children, don't you cry. Gonna get a pension when your daddy do die.
Been on the job too long. Spider John Kerner with the revised version of Duncan and Brady. So that John was an incredibly wonderful addition to our family in Cambridge at this time. And there are two more people that had become part of the family as well. Mimi Farina, Joan Baez's younger sister, had gotten married to Richard Farina, who had formerly been married to Carolyn Hester and had spent some time in Cambridge earlier and hung out with Eric von Schmidt quite a bit. And Richard was quite the character, sort of a self-made man, wrote a classic sort of semi-autobiographical novel, been down so long it looks like up to me. And he claimed he'd done some stuff with the IRA and various undercover projects, which none of us knew were true or not, but they were certainly entertaining. And he and Mimi were definitely in love. And they came in 1965 to the Newport Folk Festival, and this was a song that really made their mark for them.
Mm-hmm. sorrow you've seen. Too many bad times, too many sad times, and nobody knows what you mean. Ah, but if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them. I know how to use them. Give them all to me. And there's no use rambling, dreaming in the darkness, seeking out a satisfied mind. Too many wrong times, too many long times, and nobody's walking behind. Ah, but if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them. I know how to use them. Give them all to me.
Richard and Mimi Farina there with their classic Pack Up Your Sorrows. And they just, Richard, of course, is playing the dulcimer with a real rock and roll attitude. And I suppose that this was what was happening at this time in 1965. You know, we weren't living in a cocoon, a folk music cocoon here. The Beatles were out there. The Rolling Stones were coming on. Everything was really beginning to percolate all over the place. And this is another one of Richard and Mimi's. They did this at Newport at Live, and I was there, and it was pouring rain during their set. And you know, the response to that can be either let's get out of here or let's have a party. And that audience wanted to have a party, and Richard and Mimi gave it to them.
I'm kind of fond of losers, as a lot of people seem to be these days, but I'd like them to have one saving grace. This is a song we made up about a loser. The only thing you can do well is make it. The girls like him. It's called Hard Loving Loser. It's a new song.
Using 20 pounds of counterweights, sinking
Richard and Mimi Farina there, keeping the rain away and the hard loving loser. Mimi was fresh with those words too. I think this was hot off Richard's press. At any rate, it was a great afternoon there. That was an afternoon concert that they did in Newport, and the rain was pouring down and nobody cared. I'm going to take a moment here to remind you that you're listening to Royalton Community Radio. This program is called In It for the Long Run, and my name is Jim Rooney, and I am in it for the long run. And this time, we're in about 1965, which was a real time of change in all kinds of ways. And I'm checking out some of the music that was coming up, bubbling up at the time. And another new group to come to the Club 47 originally came from Mississippi. They're four brothers and had come up through the gospel world and a lot of the Sam Cooke style soul stirrers singing, and we're now coming into the more of the rock area, but it was still very much acoustic and wonderful singing. The Chambers Brothers is who I'm talking about here, and let's listen to this from them.
Used to stay out all night long. She made me wait, she made me moan. She had my nose open, that's no lie. And the tables turned and now it's her turn to cry. Because I used to love her. She put
The Chambers Brothers there, Lester leading the singing, and they just came into our hearts in Cambridge, and they moved there, all lived there for better part of 2 years or so, more than that maybe, before they finally moved on to New York in kind of a big-time career. But they were the real thing, and they were beautiful people. And I want to do this other piece here that might be a little different from them. It's Summertime.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mom is good looking. So
Summertime with the Chambers Brothers. They just I just love them, and I still love them. They were just very natural performers and people. This was the music that they came up with in their whole life, and it just felt like it came right through their soul. So they were at the Newport Folk Festival in 65, too, and you might be getting the impression that this festival had some just a different feeling to it. And that really became apparent during a blues workshop that was hosted by Alan Lomax, and this young band from Chicago came on. Mystery Train, Paul Butterfield Blues Band there. Well, now, when you heard that for the first time, you knew you were hearing something. Mike Bloomfield on the guitar, Elvin Bishop on the guitar, Jerome Arnold and Sammy Lay, who'd come from Howlin' Wolf's band, Sammy on the drums and Jerome on the bass, and then Paul Butterfield on the harmonica. And Paul was a genius on the harmonica. There is no question about it. He's one of the greatest harmonica players to ever come down the road. And at this workshop in the afternoon at Newport, the audience just went wild when they heard this. And let's listen to another of this from this time, Born in Chicago.
Well, my father told me, son, you had better get a gun. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, there's one thing I can say about that boy, he died bold. 21 years of age. Well, my second friend went down when I was 21 years of age. Well, there's one thing I can say about that boy. He got brave. Someone left to play the game. Well, now rules are all right if there's someone left to play the game. All my friends are going and things just don't seem the same. Oh, things just don't seem the same, babe.
Paul Butterfield and Mike Bloomfield are trading it off at the end of that Born in Chicago. Well, at this workshop, as I say, the audience went wild. And afterwards, I had to go away. I was doing something else at the time. I had to leave before it was quite over. But then my friend Eric von Schmidt found me later on and told me of a tussle that had happened after this workshop between Albert Grossman, the music manager who had just started managing the Paul Butterfield Band, and Alan Lomax, the folk, the blues collector, folk song collector, who'd done amazing work, of course. And but Alan was a prickly fellow, and he evidently gave the Butterfield Band what Albert Grossman considered was a very condescending introduction. And Eric played this out. I had an Irish sweater on, a white Irish sweater. I had to come back from Ireland. And he did a shadow show on my sweater. And one of the stick figures went, "You idiot, you, that was the worst introduction I ever heard." Bam! And then hit him. It was like a Punch and Judy show on my sweater. Then the other one said, "You asshole, you better bleep that. Get down and blah." They're all rolling around on the ground. And both of them were kind of round men in the first place. So it was quite a scene. When Eric, of course, described it, it was even better than probably in real life. So this was, there was some a bit of tension in the air at Newport this year because of this new influx of energy, and a lot of it had to do with electricity. I mean, Mike Bloomfield was not a retiring flower on that guitar. He was letting it all go out, and that was a new style of guitar playing for this audience, and some people didn't like it, but a lot of people did like it. And one of the people that did like it was Bob Dylan. And he had come back from England, and where, of course, the Stones and the Beatles and everything else was happening. And he came back sort of a changed person in his appearance, for sure. The Woody Guthrie little dungarees and the little the jacket were gone, and he had polka dot shirt and high heel shoes, zip-up boots, and shades, very rock and roll. He almost overnight became a rock and roll person, although he'd always been there in where he started long ago. He came into music through rock and roll, but let's not get off on that. But at any rate, you know the story by now. It's been well told over the years. he decided to got Mike Bloomfield, Barry Goldberg, who was another piano player from Chicago, Al Cooper, who was barely on competent on the organ, but he got Bob to take him on, and then Jerome Arnold and Sammy Lay from Paul's band, and they rehearsed four songs and came out and did them, and then the idea was that he'd finish off with his normal acoustic set. Well, nobody had set the guitar on the stage, the acoustic guitar, so he had to leave the stage at the end of this electric set, and by this time the audience was in an uproar, and this is the song that did it.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next. But you know you only used to get juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stand to the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal? How does it feel? How does it feel to be on your own with no direction? You shouldn't let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on a chrome horse with your diplomat, who carried on his shoulder a Siamese cat. Ain't it hard when you discover that he really wasn't
on your own with no
princess on a steeple, and all the pretty people, they all drinking, thinking that they got it made. Exchanging all precious gifts, but you better take a diamond ring, you better pawn it, babe. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now, he calls you, you can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal.
There was no getting away from it. This was not pretty. It was not a brothers and sisters singing all over this land. It was a far cry from the kind of peace and love of the folk music movement. But I have to say that I was on my feet cheering that night. The sound might not have been great. The balance wasn't great, but the message was very clear, and I didn't have a problem with it. I had some problems with, you know, is the attitude, the rock and roll attitude towards the audience very often I found offensive, because it seemed to be that they didn't care for the audience or were putting them down. But I don't have a problem with this message of Bob's at the time, and I that's why we have poets. If you don't agree, you can't agree with everything somebody says. Everything can't be pretty and everything can't be wonderful. I think he was saying something that he meant at the time, and he definitely got everybody's attention. There was no question about that. There was all kinds of stuff at later on at the party afterwards. People were in a turmoil over it. But that's what he did, and that's what he does, and he's done it for a long time, and I must say, I gotta give it to him. Now I'm gonna leave you today. I was talking about this as a time of change. We're going to give Bob the last word here. And, you know, he's not going to be working on Maggie's farm no more. Just letting everybody know that we're all kind of on our own in a way. And I'm going to leave it at that. My name is Jim Rooney. I'm in it for the long run. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time, I hope.
Hands and pray for rain. I got a head full of ideas that are driving me insane. It's a shame the way she makes me scrub the floor. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. No, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. Well, he hands you a nickel, he hands you a dime, he asks you with a grin if you're having a good time, and he finds you every time you slam the door. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's pa no more. No, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's pa no more. Well, he puts his cigar out in your face just for kicks. His bedroom window, it is made out of bricks. There's not National Guard stands around his door.